When you try to get a good night's sleep and you've got interruptions or a bed partner making, snoring, making things tough, sometimes it's advisable to sleep in separate beds, or you can sleep in separate beds, but together you can sleep in different rooms. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a great thing. And I really want to convince everyone that it's when we get a good night's sleep, we are so much better psychologically. I mean, I think we hear a lot about the physical, benefits of sufficient sleep, but gosh, psychologically, we're in better moods. We're able to problem solve. We're able to communicate better. We can relate to each other better. We're more empathetic. We have better ethics when we're well rested. I mean, the list is long and quite interesting.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 178 of the Secrets of Supermom show. Joining us today is Better Sleep Council representative Terry Crawley. As a registered nurse and certified sleep educator who specializes in sleep health and wellness, she educates on the critical importance of sleep to so many things, to physical and psychological health, to growth and development, to safety, to optimum functioning, productivity, peak performance, and really just overall quality of life. So she is going to share with us today, A, why it is so, so important, even more than diet and exercise, to get sleep for optimum health. But she's also going to share with us why it is so important that you might want to consider independent sleeping, which she also sometimes calls a sleep divorce. It may be just what you need to get the sleep that you need so that you can be better in literally every part of your life. I am so excited for you to hear from Terry Crawley. Hey, hey, friends. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited Terry's with me today. Terry, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Lori. It's a pleasure.
I am fascinated by our topic today. I'm going to have you tell us a little bit about you first, but I am so excited to dig into this. And I think that our listeners are going to be like, what in the world? I have never heard of this before. So tell me first a little bit about you.
Well, I hope they're as excited about sleep as I am, which sometimes it's a hard sell, you know. But I'm a registered nurse, a mom of one sweet boy and five dogs and two rescue horses. So anyway, I'm a registered nurse. I fell into sleep medicine quite by accident a long time ago, and I've been enthralled, passionate about this message, and a true believer in getting sufficient sleep will improve your life in every single aspect possible.
I am so excited we get to talk about this today because I do talk about sleep a lot, right? I talk about it a lot from the perspective of mood and energy, right? I want you to feel amazing both in your mood and your energy as much as you possibly can. And the things that we can control to make that happen, I believe sleep is one of them, right? So I think it's really important.
It is important. And it's actually square one. We have to look at it like that. And I think a lot of people that are listening to us today will kind of, if they really dig deep enough, they'll know that we've, for years, all of us have been guilty of sort of glamorizing and sort of not getting sleep because we equate sleeplessness with high ambition, need for success, how to be our best and get the most done. So I'm going to undo all that today, hopefully.
I love this because, and I'm with you because I am guilty of what you just said. I used to be like, it's amazing that I can only need 5 hours of sleep. Well, then when I really started taking care of my body in the right way, doing movement the way that I should, right? Eating the way that I should. Oh, I don't actually function well on 5 hours of sleep. I do need more than that. Yes.
Exactly. And that's the irony of this whole thing. We lose that self-awareness and that insight when we're sleep deprived. So we kind of think we're doing okay, and we kind of plod along. We're not doing okay. We're not our best selves, and we're not living our best life. We're not happy, and we're not healthy. I mean, in every aspect. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's so easy to fall in that trap of, oh, I'm okay, it doesn't bother me, or I've gotten used to getting by with little to no sleep or as little as possible. And we don't do that. Our brains and our bodies need that sleep every day of the week. So that's what we have to strive for.
I love that. And you believe in sleep so much that, and believe it is so important that you talk about something called a sleep divorce. And I cannot wait to hear more about what this means and what we would do if we feel like we might need a sleep divorce. So can we dive into that?
Yes, Lori. And the thing is, I mean, it's a sleep divorce term that I don't quite like. I mean, I'm trying to kind of segue over into saying independent sleeping, so there's no negative stigma. And to tell your listeners that it's not, sleeping apart is not a sign of relationship trouble at all. Sleeping together is such a tall order when you think about it. I mean, think about temperature preference differences, just having enough room in the bed. What time do you go to bed? Well, we have, oddly, I found a lot of patients that I've worked with, the night owls marry the morning larks. I don't know, it's crazy, but it seems like, okay, how does that work? But yeah, we've got all these different things going on. And then when you try to get a good night's sleep and you've got interruptions or a bed partner making, snoring, making things tough, sometimes and more time, it's advisable to sleep in separate beds, or you can sleep in separate beds, but together, you can sleep in different rooms. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it's a great thing. And I really want to convince everyone that it's when we get a good night's sleep, we are so much better psychologically. I mean, I think we hear a lot about the physical, benefits of sufficient sleep, but gosh, psychologically, we're in better moods. We're able to problem solve. We're able to communicate better. We can relate to each other better. We're more empathetic. We have better ethics when we're well rested. I mean, the list is long and quite interesting. So when it comes to relationships, you can have a wonderful relationship in every aspect of the term, but that does not require sharing a bed necessarily at night, whether it's every night or just periodically. That's not a requirement. The requirement, I think, to have a good relationship is to feel your best and to be your best every day. And sufficient sleep really gives us those qualities and gives us those wonderful things to carry on and to share with our family members, our partners, our friends, our work colleagues. I mean, everyone benefits. So, we'll call it independent
Independent
sleeping,
sleep.
but I don't want anyone to think that that's a sign of trouble. And we know that sleep deprivation leads to a lower libido. We know that sleep deprivation negatively impacts fertility. We know that sleep, deprivation causes people to really have more negative sort of approach to things, be more anxious, be more irritable. Interestingly enough, we took care of, in our clinic, we took care of a woman who was treated for severe sleep apnea. And on her follow-up visit, her husband, first thing out of his mouth 30 days later, he said, "Thanks for giving me my wife back." So think about that. But she'd been struggling. And sometimes when one person's struggling, the other person's not getting sleep. So I just don't want anyone to think there's anything negative, like I said, but I also want people to put sleep first and see how much better everything is. Am I getting enough? Or maybe you can sleep okay, but you're just not getting the hours. I mean, most adults really require 7 to 9 hours for optimal functioning.
And so many of us get less, right? Especially as busy
Yeah.
moms that are running around trying to do all the things. And drop off all the kids and pick up all the kids and work full time and right, all, you know, the list goes on.
Right.
And we often give up. I know I certainly did until I really locked it down. I gave up sleep for that too, right? I was willing to give up my sleep. And then if I have a partner who likes to watch TV in bed, like mine,
right,
versus
right.
one who does not like to watch TV in bed, like me, right? Yeah. Then it even like, then I'm getting just a little bit less than I could because my starting is not ideal, right? Optimal for me.
Exactly. And there still is sort of some guilt with saying I'm tired or I need sleep. People perceive that as a weakness, whether, you know, or they've internalized that.
Yeah.
We have to be completely unapologetic for a biological need for sleep. It's like drinking water, Lori. I mean, we don't apologize. I need to, you know, I want to stay hydrated during the day, which by the way, helps you sleep
Please
better
do that.
At night. Yeah. So I'm going to get these tips in, but you know, we should be completely unapologetic for our need for sleep. It's not a weakness. And I think we are better parents when we're well rested. And I think it's a responsibility thing. I mean, look at the issue of drowsy driving. Completely. So dangerous. It's on, you know, it's as dangerous as drunk driving. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't get that sort of public health awareness messaging that it really warrants. The Better Sleep Council's been great. They allow me to run my mouth everywhere. But, you know, that's one thing. I always work that in, no matter where I'm giving a talk, no matter who I'm talking to, don't drive drowsy. But I see new moms, especially, or moms of any age, you know, they just, I think there's some guilt, like, I shouldn't take a nap now because I need to do this, or I want it to be this way. And no, get that sleep and delegate, ask for help, say, you know, I think we have to be just very, lose that bias and that sort of shame of, I'm tired, because it's not a weakness. It's, yeah. It's being a caring, that level of self-care and responsibility is admirable. So I think we need to flip the script and make sufficient sleep a well-respected thing, an honorable thing, and something to prioritize.
Yeah. I certainly can tell a wild difference with specifically my ability to be a calm and patient mom, right?
Oh, yeah.
And certainly calm and patience with my partner, my husband too, but
sure.
I can tell if I am exhausted, A, I feel like I'm going to throw up, which I don't love that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody loves that feeling when you have had so little sleep that you're sort of nauseated, but then also to just...
Yeah.
feel like you're going to snap all the time is not
the, time.
The way that we want to live, right? We want to be able to keep the level of patience, even when there's a tantrum
Absolutely.
Happening, even when, right, all those stressful things happen in our lives. This is the way to make it easier without, you know, it's not magic,
yeah.
right? There's no, you don't have to do a lot except for just sleep more, right? You just got to.
I mean, it's kind of. It's so easy. And I think sometimes people sort of, you know, are suspicious. Well, that just sounds too easy. No, it's not. And what happens often and too often, you lose your point of reference and you start feeling like this is just how I am, or my child is frustrating me to this point. And you don't realize, no, because when we're well rested, we're infinitely more patient. We're optimistic. We see, you know, we have a better sense of humor. We can laugh things off that need to be laughed off.
Yeah.
We feel our best physically, which helps us in our responses and how we interact. So it's just this myriad of things that fall into place beautifully when we have that rest that we need. I mean, it's a lot. Well, maybe it's not so subtle. You know, when we see it in kids, I think it's easier to recognize.
Yeah.
Oh, he needs a nap. She needs
must
a nap.
Must be tired.
Yeah, must be tired. But I think some introspection is warranted to say, wow, maybe I'm not looking at this the way I should, or I'm just not right in the right, you know.
Yeah. Mama must
zone.
Be tired.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's it.
So I think, and we have to be able to gently point it out or recognize it, not only in our kids, but in our partners, again, in our colleagues at work and anywhere, and say, okay, do you need some help with that? Can I do this while you get some sleep? Make sure everything's going, or be cognizant of, is somebody showing signs of a sleep disorder? I mean, kids from a young age all the way through the elderly, we have to, you know, if there is a problem, if they constantly show signs of being not well rested, excessive sleepiness during the day, get thee to a doctor. And we should really, you know, sleep is a vital sign. We should address it at every single healthcare provider encounter. It's that fundamental. to our well-being. And so everything rides upon that. We used to say it was sort of a three-way tie between sleep, diet, and exercise. And we've thrown that out the window now. It's not a three-way tie in any sense. Sleep is actually the foundation because diet and exercise are completely dependent on how much sleep we're getting or not getting. So if we put that first, things fall into place. And we actually, I had a mom tell me once that she was in the front row of a talk I was giving. She raised her hand at the end of the talk and she said, "Terry, you're not being realistic." And I said, "About what?" And she said, "8 hours a night. That's so unrealistic. I'm not going to get anything done or all the things I want to get done or things I want to do if I take out 8 hours a night." So after I pulled my hair out, I said, "That formula is so messed up. You're going to do more and do it better. I
Better, faster,
guarantee it.
smarter. That's exactly what I
Faster,
say.
smarter,
You're going to
more,
be better,
so
faster,
much better."
smarter.
Exactly. And that's what, it's a message that is not well received, but it's true and it works. But you just have to get people sort of to believe that and to prioritize it. I say, look, if you've been of the other mindset for a while, 2 weeks, give me 2 weeks of going to bed, keep that sleep time consistent, consistent bedtime, consistent wake up time, but that allows for 7 to 9 hours. Find your sweet spot, but do it for 2 weeks if you haven't done it. I guarantee you will feel better. Now, if you have an incredible sleep debt hanging around you, it might take 30 days. So you don't email me in 2 weeks and say, "Oh my God, maybe it takes you
Working.
30 days because you're totally sleep deprived and it's chronic." But that's a good thing to do. And the Better Sleep Council has great, tips on, sleep hygiene tips. They have really good recommendations also on the sleep surface. And that's another thing when it, sort of back to the sleep divorce and independent sleeping. There's so many things out there, new materials, like if you haven't been mattress shopping in a while, and some people kind of roll their eyes and say, "Oh, who's, grudge sort of, oh God, I don't want to look for mattresses." But they have wonderful information on the website about how to make it pleasing, what to look for. There's things now that will cool you off if you're getting incredibly hot at night, different firmness levels, all kinds of things. Those adjustable bases can help people who have reflux and snoring issues like that. So, that's a great resource.
Yeah, I love that. We have a bed that cools, and also separately, right? Separately, my husband and me have separate sides, and it does separate things. And then also has I don't know what it's called, but some sort of anti-movement. Basically, I can't feel him move very much when I'm on my side of the bed, and so those things I think are quite beneficial. And that's sort of what you're talking about with the independent sleeping, is not having to feel your partner move, having to feel your partner do these different things. And in my mind, I think of it as being very like I Love Lucy, right? With the two separate twin beds, Lucy and Ricky have got there. But you're saying it that can be totally normal because it feels not normal anymore. It feels like if you're married, you sleep in the same bed. If you have a partner you live with, you sleep in the same bed. And you're saying, hold on, that doesn't have to be true. You can absolutely have an amazing marriage, relationship, whatever, and sleep in separate beds. But I want to ask you a question about this because I know people are thinking, what about intimacy? I need to understand how this works if we're not sleeping in the same bed every night, right? So they're saying, well, what does that mean? What does it mean for that?
It really can be done. And I don't think that precludes any intimacy on any level. And I think you're going to find much more desire for intimacy with sufficient sleep. So whether you change up the sleep surface, like you just went over, or it's separate rooms, not every night, 2 nights a week, whatever it takes. Or depending on your work schedule, factored in. But I think my message is think outside the box, whatever it takes, but don't attach that negative stigma to it, because we have to look at sleep in a complete through a different lens, a completely different lens than we had done previously in the past. And it's still going on. And I use the analogy of smoking back in the day. Smoking was acceptable. It was advertised on television all the time. I swear to you, I remember my father lighting up in restaurants after a meal. I
In
mean,
bed.
yes. Oh,
So
in the
gross.
hospital. Yeah. And but I mean, but think of that wasn't that long ago that that was completely okay and part of our accepted culture. You know, it was just part of our thing. And vending machines everywhere, kids could go do it, buy cigarettes. We look at where we've come. So I think sleep deprivation is very similar to smoking, where now it's not going to be glamorized and idealized like it used to be. Now it's going to be part of the better health, better wellness, better quality of life. Because we're look at sleep deprivation now. It's been attached to obesity, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, certain cancers, Alzheimer's, dementia. I mean, we're looking for the quality of life and longevity. We've got to look at sleep. And I think people, when they're scheduling their day and prioritizing their lives in general, that they're going to find the quality improves so much. You know, the quality infinitely rises, increases with sufficient sleep. It's a matter of, you know, don't, you know, we can schedule better. We're better with time management when we're well rested.
That's
I
it.
mean, we can do it. I think you do some people need to make adjustments? Absolutely. But I think to be our best selves, I think we owe it to ourselves to function at our best. I mean, let's be happier and healthier and enjoy life more by getting enough sleep.
I love this. If you weekly plan with me, if you are part of our society, you know that we plan out the things that impact our energy first, and sleep is the first, right? The sleep is the
It's
first
the
thing on our
first.
list because it is
Square
so
one.
important. Yes.
It is square one. And I think when people get that message, I mean, before I got into sleep, as a specialty in nursing, I didn't get it. And we were rotating shifts and very lackadaisical, you know, it was, oh, I'll go to bed when I go to bed. And I mean, I just don't think we looked at it similarly. And once you see it and how people are really struggling, whether they get it or they don't, but when you see them struggle and then you see sort of, well, here we've treated your sleep apnea, for instance. Now you're getting a good night's sleep. I mean, it's very much can be life-changing. It's that impactful. So I think it's just we're doing ourselves a disservice, in terms of look at we're safer when we're asleep, you know, in terms not just drowsy driving, on accidents, injuries on the job, things that can go wrong, mistakes that can be made. We're safer and better off with sufficient sleep. So
I think it
it should
sounds
be
like it's so
something.
important. And I want to go back to just one thing that you said, which
Sure.
was the, you said it can, when, if you're thinking about sleeping independently, right? If you're thinking, I think my partner is maybe causing some of my inability to sleep because they're snoring or because they move a lot or because they want to watch TV or stay up late or get up early, right? Any of those things. I think a lot of us, right? I think about a busy mom who's not sleeping at night. And she's saying, oh, my husband was snoring. And so I went and slept on the couch, right? And so you did, not on purpose, right? But did this independent sleeping because you couldn't handle it anymore. Whereas what Terry is saying, you can intentionally do that. You can intentionally choose, even just a few nights a week, to say, hey, we're going to sleep apart because I know I'm going to get better sleep. And I'm not going to wake up at 2 a.m. huffing and puffing and go downstairs and get on the couch. I am going to intentionally choose this so that I can have this amazing night's sleep and feel patient and feel happy and feel energized and be ready for my day and be a better mom and a better employee and a better spouse and a better all the things.
Absolutely. I mean, give it a whirl if you haven't tried it. I mean, it's that wonderful. It can be.
I love it. Terry, I want to ask you something we love to ask all of our guests, and that
Okay.
is, when do you feel most like a super mom?
But I've had a good night's sleep.
Yeah. How could it be anything other, right? Of course.
I cannot overstate it.
I love it.
Yes.
We always love to ask what's one small step busy moms can do to get started. And I want to know if someone is listening and they know their sleep is whackadoodle, right? They know it's off and they know they need to do better. What is just one small step they could do to get started with that today?
Ask for help. I mean, I see people, and especially with sleep, Not ask for help from their healthcare provider. They don't bring it up, they don't address it, or they again sort of push it back here for a while and say, I'll get to it, or everyone must deal with this. And I think, and I just talked to a woman recently, she felt sort of a stigma with admitting she was snoring and that she might have apnea. And that really breaks my heart on so many levels. Because when we can diagnose these sleep disorders, we can manage them and improve someone's well-being tremendously. So I would say ask for help, talk to your healthcare provider. You don't necessarily, let's say you're having a bout of insomnia, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be on heavy medications or anything. In fact, for insomnia, the most recommended treatment is cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. It's called CBTI. It's a wonderful thing that's helped many people without medications. So, but sometimes medications can be appropriate under the supervision of a sleep physician. So be proactive, and I think it's the ultimate in self-care. We really need to take care of ourselves. And another thing I do find with women is, we all crave that me time desperately during the, we're doing so much for others. And I know me time is important, but view sleep as the ultimate me time.
I love that. Terry, where to find you? Where do we find you online?
Find me at the Better Sleep Council. I do a lot of wonderful work with them. Well, they're a wonderful organization. I'm honored to be on their team. I am on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter at Power of Sleep. I guess that's called X now, right?
It is indeed.
And Instagram, but ever yeah. Look us up and get some good strategies for getting that sleep that I've talked about. And I hope everyone does well with that.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Lori. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.